We are 1 week out from Gents Cup in Major Number 3, and I just got this.
Well, everything I thought I figured out on Thursday is now gone. I'm back to sending chili dippers up the range or topping the ball 7 feet and snap hooking or power slicing every other shot. Not good. A couple more days to figure it out.
2, 3, 4. Good day, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Fairway Fit Golf Podcast, where two friends get together to talk about how we are trying to look good, feel good, and play good. Let's go. All right. Episode 10. Welcome back to Fairway Fit, episode 10. This is Brad. I've got Greg. We are at 10 episodes in. How do you feel about that?
Are you surprised we made it this far?
I am. I'm not, but I am surprised the internet's letting us stay on for 10 episodes.
That is true. We haven't gotten banned or kicked off or
commented
to the oblivion.
Luckily, we're just audio. We're not video, so they don't actually see our golf swings.
Thanks,
because that would be work. But we're going to talk a little bit about Major 3. We are Major 3 Eve, so we got two sleeps before we head down to Royal New Kent, and we're going to compete in Major 3. Also, head down to Gents Cup down in Williamsburg. I can't
wait. This is the turn of the tables.
Or we're just going to keep going in the right direction, however you want to look at it. Speaking of the right direction.
It is Friday, May 24th. We're about 5 days out from Major Number 3, Royal New Kent. And I just had the best range session I've had probably in years. Irons are crisp. Fairway finder was there. Driver was being piped. And he had a couple of nuances with some miss hits, but for being that consistent with the driver after I've pretty much debated on taking it out of the bag and throwing it in the trash, I'm excited. I got a little tingle in the loins, and I think I got 5 days to get even better before, you know, Major Number 3. I think it's time to get off the snide. Coming for you.
We just shared a clip from you from the other day. Sounds like you have righted the ship a little bit. Fill us in. What have you been doing over the last, I don't know, 7 days or so since we talked?
And I will say this.
How are you getting ready?
I don't know if I've righted the ship. I still have yet to take that said swing out on the course. I had glimpses of it on the Thursday round that I played with Jack and them, but I didn't have a full range session like I did that Friday where basically, I felt unstoppable. Like, I felt like I was a player again.
Well, let me ask. I have to ask, because I know this is a goal of ours, and I know you have a major goal. On your Thursday range session, did you have a proper warm-up?
No.
So you're still riding from the car.
Basically, what I'm doing now is I'm dropping the kids off about 25 minutes early than I usually do in the mornings, and I'm going to the range in the mornings before I head to school. So really,
but
like
you
most
played
of the time,
Thursday. But you played. That's what I mean.
Oh,
you have
Thursday.
A warm-up.
Yeah. No, I got in. Our boy was on a conference call. I went down. They charged me full price, even though it was Member Appreciation Day. So I had to go back and deal with that. And yeah, I took maybe 5 or 6 swings on the tee box and then let it rip.
Okay. Hopefully. I know it's goals, and obviously we're not going to reach goals in 1 day, but hopefully that's something I know you're looking forward to, maybe over the next 4-5 rounds, getting a little bit of a warm-up here before you start playing, and hopefully that'll start getting you going in the right direction as well, too.
Oh, I'm going to get a solid one. I'm getting up every morning. I'm getting up every morning, getting a run, getting a workout in, and then getting to the course and having a couple swings in me before I get to the tee. I'm playing with some players, so like I can't embarrass myself.
Yeah. playing with a lot of people. I don't know how good are these players.
Yeah, I'm playing with Mr. Scratch plus one.
Oh boy.
Very first round. So.
Oh boy.
So I'm either gonna now. Granted, it's a shamble. So at least if I have a bad tee shot, I can take his. But bigger picture is Wednesday morning when I show up and I right the ship and I turn the tables and I make it 2-1. I make you start shaking in your boots because I go throw up a good number or at least a solid number or something I haven't shot all season and set off Gents Cup in a good realm. Because you know what? This is how I'm thinking. I'm thinking you're in a win because one, if you lose the major, I'm on your team the rest of the weekend and I'm going to be playing well and we're going to win Gents Cup, right? If you win the major, all right, you're up 3-0, and hey, I'm going to be not happy, and I'm going to have to win out the rest of the year and win the summer season in order to push, but at the same time, like, I'm going to be focused. If I put up a solid number, you put up a solid number, hey, we're going to high-five on 18, we're going to take one of the 80, and we're going to head down to Gents Cup, smiles on our faces.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. My fear is not playing you. It's more playing the golf course because I do remember this golf course. I literally 40 seconds ago just watched a video of Tobacco Road, which is the same architect that we're going to play, that the guy hit when it literally hit the stick of the pin and then rolled back 70 yards down a hill to an elevated green. And it was like, it was crazy to watch. So I know we're playing a pretty tough golf course. I know you're swinging it a lot better over the last few days. Doesn't worry me.
I like coming in as the underdog.
Our goal is for both of us to get better. Obviously, I want to win. We would try to beat each other in paper football if we were playing paper football. We would, and that's just what we do. But yeah, I know you've been swinging it. I know we've been both crushing it with our workouts, get things going. I know Keo's still running, still hitting the gym, still doing what we need to do. And we'll touch base on some workouts we're going to do over the next few days as we are traveling. But I've been swinging it well. I did have my best round of the year last week. I shot a 74. I actually came out almost on fire, which was weird. I had 7 straight pars, birdie to finish the front, which was actually the back at my course. We went off 10 first. And then I did had some fumbles coming in, but I kept low numbers. I think I had 5 bogeys on the back 9 with a birdie in there. So I finished 40. So I went 34-40, which is my best, by far my best back at my course. And then I played again today, shot 79. Only hit 5 greens, but I was on the fringe a lot. So putter was in the hand, putted well. So
how many rounds in 70s have you shot so far this season?
I'd like to say 5, maybe 6, but you can't, don't quote me on that.
You've surpassed my number one goal 5 times already.
Yeah.
I haven't been within 20 strokes.
Well, I think the big thing, like I said, and we've talked before, is my 9-hole rounds. It has just been great practice being able to play 9 holes here, play 9 holes there. So I have a lot of 30s on 9 holes. I have probably pushing 10 plus 30 on 9 holes.
Good Lord.
Yeah, so like that has been a huge difference. My last 3 nines were 79, 74, 37, 83, 38, 80, 81, 78. I'm swinging it well. I'm fine with where my game is. It's, again, like I said, it's a golf course. I don't know. I could go on my course now and I know where the misses are. I know if I hit a green, I know where I'm going to be after I've hit the shot. So I'm not driving up there and I know where we're headed. I think I got a lot of blind shots at my home course. I think we're going to a course that has doubled the amount of blind shots with tiered greens. And so that keeps it interesting, especially I'm giving up a lot of strokes, which I'm not complaining about. It's just, I got to keep that in my head that it's all it does is level the playing field. So I still got to go out and play well. So
I would say that I'm swinging it pretty well for a 16-6.
16-6, which where we're going though, it's almost going to give you a couple because this is going to be a tough course. But I'm excited about it. Like I said, this is Major 3 Eve, 2 sleeps. We are set, ready to go. Look forward to getting down there. I can't wait. We also got Gents Cup. We're going down with 32 guys that we have talked about multiple times in our last couple of shows. And, man, I can't wait. We got the Shamble on round one on Wednesday morning.
Scramble.
Round one?
Scramble round two.
A scramble round two. So the Shamble, obviously, for those that don't know, we both tee off, and then we play for the best, play our own ball from the best tee shot, and then add the scores together. Then the scramble, obviously, we play the better shot all the way through. And then on Friday, playing again, best ball. Again, we have a partner. And then on Saturday, singles. I know singles, we're both on the same team, so that's exciting. But on singles, I go out early, and I will be sitting there on 18, ready for you to clinch the cup, because the way it looks, that you're going to be right around that number if we're playing well.
That is, I think I'm third or fourth group to last.
Yeah, so it's going to be, obviously, if one-sided, it could be you very easily. Man, I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to a Stone Cold Steve Austin celebration. If I clinch the cup on 18 and I'm walking up, if you see me throw one hand up with the left, one three hand up with the right, I better get two tossed to me, and I'm at a Stone Cold.
It's I'll be ready. I'll be ready. We'll get somebody to record that. We'll throw that up on Instagram and Twitter so everybody can see us. We may throw up a picture of me on Wednesday with a thumbs up taking Major 3 too, so that way we're pawns here before we move on. But man, playing well. Got a lot of things ready to go for the trip today. Our goal in this is to get ourselves in shape to play better golf on golf trips. And this is golf trip number two, but one of our big ones I know we've both been looking forward to and always throughout. So this episode is going to be a little bit different. We're going to record a little bit as we're down there. And so we're going to try to piece a longer episode. But I don't know, Greg, episode 10, I feel like it's a milestone. I felt that it was very appropriate that we just called this, let's go. We are ready to go.
I love it.
Let's go. We got Major 3. We got the Gents Cup. We cannot ask for more. We got
one more day of work.
Yeah, one more day of work. We got a lot of things going in our favor, and I'm excited. The weather looks good. I hope I got enough golf balls. We'll figure it out.
If you don't, I got some in my car.
Yeah. There you go. But stay tuned, because we are going to keep recording. I think the next time you'll hear us, we'll be in our condo, and never know, we'll have some things from Major 3. But I'm looking forward to it.
Might have some special guests. Special. Never know. We might have some fellow gents that decide to stumble into the room and talk about Gents Cup, or talk about their lack of or consistent exercise plan.
There we go. All right. Let's go. All right. Here we go. Major number 3. Greg, how you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Feeling nice and loose. Got a run in this morning. Got a chiropractor session in. And I'm looking forward to seeing the new game on the course.
Yeah, I was feeling pretty good until I saw that I have to give you 14 shots.
Not bad.
It's not bad for 18 holes when you get one per shot hole, pretty much. But we'll figure it out. All right, we'll check back in. All right, we are 11 holes in. Greg jumped out to a pretty good lead, played a solid front, had me up by, what are you? You were up 4 after 9. And then 10 hit.
Gave that up on 10.
Gave that up on 10, and we are back tied through 11. I would say...
lots of golf to play.
Got a lot of golf to play. We'll check back later.
Unfortunately, we did not do a lot of recording like we hoped. But a few days after our trip, we did get back on the mics. Let's take a listen.
All right, Greg, been a couple days. How are we feeling from our long weekend of golf? I know I am still recovering. I felt like I felt my best today. We've been home for, what is it now, 3 days? But man, what a good time. How are you doing?
3.5, 4 days. We got home Sunday.
That's true.
I am feeling good body-wise, feeling 6 feet under, demoralized after the six rounds of golf we just finished playing.
We did. We played 6 rounds in 4 days. And couldn't complain at all about the weather. I think on our first day, which was our major day, we did get a little bit of rain for one hole. But other than that, maybe a hole and a half. But for other than that, man, you cannot beat the weather. Course conditions were pretty darn nice. Not even that windy. It was almost perfect out there. That's for sure.
It's beautiful weather. I have the worst farmer's tan I can possibly imagine.
Golfer's tan.
Yeah.
Golfer's true, tan.
Because I also got the socks.
Golfer's tan.
Even when I'm not wearing any.
Yeah. I still don't. I still always laugh at the people that get that hat line. I've worn hats my whole life, being on the baseball field and everything. I've never had a hat line like golfers do. I don't quite understand. Like, you can literally take their hat off and their bald head is a completely different color. And we both fit the bald head description. And I don't take my hat off during the round by any means. I never could understand that those pro guys take their hat off and it's whoa.
I get around it by any time that I run. I don't run with hat on.
See, I have to. I sweat so much.
I let the bald head just breathe and get some sun.
Yeah. Yeah, I know we got back Sunday. I stayed active a little Sunday. Tyler had practice. I got home and honestly, I couldn't even put my stuff away. We had to be out the door. I didn't even know there was practice until I left. I was like, oh boy. So I had rushed to that. We did some walking around a little bit Sunday. Went to the pool. Felt like an ice tub. So I was only in there for about 5 minutes. And then every time the kids got out, they looked purple. So finally, we were able to talk them into going back home. But I did get some workouts in the last couple of days. Did some full body circuits. I think I ran about 6 or 7 miles, right around 7 miles over the last 3 days. So I feel fine. I could tell that I went through myself a little bit of a beating. But other than that, I would have hit balls today, but we're in the big all-star season right now. So it's pretty much practices every day. Ooh, got rained on today. I know you've been out at least once to hit balls, but how are the workouts going? Have you been able to do anything?
Yeah. I pretty much jumped right back on it and went right back to my normal regimen and it was perfectly fine. Sunday, I did not work out. We got home and I immediately had both kids attached to my hip for pretty much the remainder of the day. And then Sunday night, it was just me getting ready for work on Monday, so I didn't want to take time away from seeing Laura or anything like that. So it was basically skipped Sunday's workout, but then got right back to it on Monday.
Yeah, I definitely dialed it back a little bit in the weight room and tried to act as my exercises were more mobility type work. I still had some weights, but I wasn't heavyweight like I have been going the last few weeks. Just let my body recover active recover as I'm going through. And my runs were just slow. I just wanted to be moving. I always feel better after I run, especially throughout the rest of the day at work. Otherwise, I just get stiff and bored. At least my runs, I know I've done something, especially coming down to the end of the year here with everything.
So I went the opposite. I went light the 4 days before the trip and then just came right back to heavy. It actually felt good to move some heavy weight. Something I'm good at, I guess you can say.
There you go. You have some big numbers in you, so it'll work.
That's true. As long as I can bench more than my 18-hole score.
There you go. All right, so major number 3 took place. We went down on Wednesday. We headed to a course called Royal New Kent, and Mike Strantz signature design is actually the same architect who has done Tobacco Road and Caledonia, who we played earlier this year. And I know Tobacco Road is both on our list of a bucket list course to get to. Although I don't know, Greg, what did you think? What's the reaction of the course? What did you think of the course on Wednesday?
I liked it. Somehow I hit the highest fairways that I've hit all year. Somehow. Now, I will say that putting was tricky. Small greens, interesting tee shots. But I think that if you played that course multiple times, you'd learn it pretty darn quickly. And the kind of craziness of it would probably go away.
Yeah, there's a lot of things I liked about it. I was with you. My fairways were off the charts. I do think we played at a yardage that made us go more towards the bigger part of the fairway. And not knowing the course, it made it a little bit easier. So it wasn't a course you can just bomb off of. I think I hit a decent number of drivers, but I also hit plenty of irons and plenty of hybrids off the fairways. And they were big. They were very big fairways. And if I remember right, they were big enough to where they could hold on and hold a roll, but if they rolled off the fairway, there was a lot of times you were in some pretty high stuff. And that's kind of, I think, his design. He's got a lot of hills that kind of concave into making the fairway. So it keeps the ball in play a little bit. I actually think opposite. I thought the greens were a decent size, but the difference was if you came from certain angles, they weren't very wide. If you were coming from the right, I felt like there was times where we were maybe playing into the wrong side and we didn't have a lot of front and back to work with because it was a narrow green. Square footage wise, I bet they were a decent number, but playability wise, like I think what you're thinking, they were just weird. It was just a little weird.
Short-sided pretty quickly.
Yeah, just being 3 hours south of here, the grass, I think it was a little bit more of a Bermuda through all the way, the Bermuda with Poana coming through the greens. I don't think that course was in as good a shape as our next rounds when we headed over to Kings Mill. But yeah, they were quick. They were firm. I didn't make any. Did we even have a birdie in our match?
Don't believe so.
No, looking at the scorecard, we did not. I don't even really remember hitting anything really that close to make a high percentage putt there. We would have either had to drop a 20-plus footer in there, which is obviously doable, but percentages go down really high when we do that. Let's talk a little bit about the round. Greg was Patton. Start to Greg's round. He did arrive pretty much 3 minutes before tee time, maybe 4 minutes before tee time.
No, I had enough time to stand around and watch three groups. It had to give me at least 10.
Okay, but no warm-up.
I was right on time for the first tee time of our four tee time group.
Yeah, I know we got switched around there, so I don't even know when we actually went off last, didn't we? We were supposed to go off first, but we ended up going off last. But yeah, and I actually wasn't very early either. I only hit, which was actually pretty good. Their warm-up bucket was only like 15 golf balls. And I even made the comment to somebody, this isn't bad because then I only can hit 15 because otherwise I'll sit there and hit 150 balls before I even go play, which doesn't really do anything for you either besides just put a lot of swing thoughts into your head. So I had a quick warm-up. I did rush a little bit, and then I think when I was driving up, you pulled in, grabbed your stuff. We were able to check in, and we did watch one or two groups tee off. So we putted around a little bit, but I tell you what, though, I know, and you'll hear in the recording, Greg was coming in hot, and I don't mean coming in at the last minute. I know he had a good range session a couple of days before, and I will tell you, and I'll tell everybody, man, on that front nine, I could say it was probably one of my more nerve-wracking feelings that it was like, all right, he's here. We are playing some golf. And I did have to give you some shots. I know your handicap's a little higher than you want to be right now, which I tried to mentally block that out because I know that's something that always gets me a little bit just because I was. But I've been playing well. You said you hit the ball well. I think the last one, maybe two times, you were out at the range, and man, it showed. Not the first hole.
First hole was a slow start.
Difficult. Group. It was a weird shot. It was a weird shot that was very demanding tee shot. Heck, I even pulled 3-wood, which I don't hit a lot. Which I tell you what, I probably hit 3-wood 4 times in the last 6 rounds, and it was bullets, dead straight. And I don't know why I don't like pulling that out of the bag. But anyway, that's besides the point.
If you want to get rid of it, I'll give you like $25 for it.
And so after the first hole, I think I had a one shot lead, and then you were rolling, and you were rolling. You had a very weird number wise round on the front side. I know you had 5 pars. I also had 5 pars, and I tell you what, between the two of us, we had a ton of double bogeys on the first round, first nine holes. You had 3 and I had 2. That's a lot. And you did have a triple added on to that, and I had a couple bogeys. But after the first round, our gross score, I had a 42, you had a 45. I was 6 over, you were 9 over, and you had a 4-shot lead after 9 holes. And I tell you what, I did keep telling myself I had to be patient. I knew something was going. It was like my 5K. It was like the 5K I ran with Tyler the weekend before. He went out in a sub-8 mile, and I was like, I'm not running that fast. This was supposed to be a relaxing day for me. And I was like, all right, he'll end up coming back to me And before the mile and a half marker, I did get to him. And it's the same way. I had to go out, really worry about my game. I didn't think I had to go out and just play lights out the rest of the way. I thought if I played solid golf, I'd hang right in there. And we'll be honest, I didn't think it would come on the next hole. But the next hole was a tough one.
It wasn't, though. The thing is, like, I hit six or seven fairways on the front. I happened to... You said you had two double bogeys. We didn't have the double bogey on the same hole. Actually, no, we did. We did.
We did on a par three.
Number seven, but...
Which I don't remember.
I do not remember.
I do remember. Actually, you tugged yours and hit the rock.
Yeah.
And I went right, and I think I chipped mine over, and I think you just replaced your ball where mine was. And then we just hit back and forth until we got to the hole finally.
It was bad. I was down in that ravine.
So you said, what were your stats on the front? Let's review the stats. I know you shot a 45. You had how many fairways?
Six of seven.
Dude, that's good.
Six of seven, and my miss on nine was right. And that's when I tugged it to that other side, and I basically put it right over the green. It was not too far off the green on my second
shot. Yeah, I see that. All right, how many greens did you hit on the front?
Greens was 33%.
33, so 3 of 9.
Yeah, it was missing approach shots.
So every hole, it looked like you hit the green, you parred.
Yeah.
And then how many putts did you have?
On the front nine.
Yeah, you have that?
I'm 16.
16, and you had a 3-putt. So I'm at, that's a solid 9. You take away, just cut your big numbers in half.
And that, you're, I mean, that's...
It's 4 shots, 4.5 shots.
As always, my biggest opponent on the course is a big number.
My numbers were pretty much the same. I was 5 of 7 fairways, 3 of 9 greens, and I also had 16 putts. I did have, I had a 3-putt as well, too. And I think that was on my, as one on one of my double bogeys, I ended up having a 3-putt. So I missed the green.
But
chipped
you
on
did
and took
have
a
monstrous drive.
Oh, on that weird one that you either had to go through the window.
And I was in front of the window and you just bombed it over.
Yeah, I think that's one of the holes I saw before we left, that it was like, what do we do here? And I remember telling myself, if I was already like needed it, let's go for it. And I think I did. I actually started off with a very good 2-putt. I don't know if you remember, I hit a great 3-wood, but I was long of the green and had that really weird, crazy slope. I was long backside of the green. I did hit the green and then I had a slope. And so I was proud of the 2-putt. And then I went double bogey and I was already down 2. And I think you pulled 3-hybrid out. And I was like, you know what? If I can just get over this, it was like a 280 carry, maybe 270 carry. And I did. I got over. I actually got over almost perfect. But it was like a little, I don't know, what would you call it? Like a little horseshoe to get through?
Not even a horseshoe. It was just like it was a 15-yard valley between two mounds that you had to get through.
It was weird. It was weird. And if I remember right, I think I split it. All I was trying to do was go over it, and I actually went dead straight through it.
Went out probably another 30, 35 yards after that.
Yeah, they were rolling pretty well, and the fairways and stuff. Yeah, that did that early on, and that kind of did. I mean, from there on out, I played the rest of the day 7 over for the last 14 holes. I can't complain about that. Like I said, I didn't think I played bad the whole round, but yeah, I came off 45. You were 45. I was 42. You took, we did have a par 5. I think you went right. You dropped. Did you go right again?
Number 10, I went 2 off the tee box before I
you did.
Threw the driver in the bag and then hit an iron off the tee.
You did.
You were going back.
I don't think
you were going back to get your phone, so you didn't witness it. But
I did, right? Because I dropped. Yeah. Oh, that's it.
Went in the,
you hit the little dribbler that jumped into the lake.
And then the second one went hard in the lake.
Oh.
And then I threw it in the bag and hit the 3-hybrid up there. And you were like, oh,
okay,
you
so I have.
And you remember I hit one that I lost in the bushes and then had to drop again.
Yep. I remember. Okay. So I had the par fives switched. I had 17 and 10 thinking backwards. This one, I hit like hybrid 7-iron and then I actually yelled. Do you remember that? I yelled on the course and then I apologized for it.
You did.
I was like, I shouldn't have been that jacked up, but I hit a 7-iron to, I think I was just onto the fringe. I hit the green and rolled to the fringe. And then I remember I told you I was going to make birdie and I didn't. I three putted, but it was technically a two putt because I was on the fringe. But after that, we went even. We evened up the match. So went from a 4-shot lead to an even on the match. And then we played equal golf. You didn't play great, and I don't think I played great the next two holes. But all the way through number 14, we were still tied strokes with everything through. And then 15 is the par three. I think I remember that one. Pin was back right. I think I just hit the green, rolled off the back. You were left in a bunker.
Yeah.
And then you went from, I don't even think you were in the bunker. I think you were right standing in the bunker.
Yeah, I was standing in the bunker.
And then you hit it into the bunker.
Right.
And then you played, oh, okay. All right, it's coming back a little bit to me now.
That was chest height swings.
Yeah, I do remember that. It was came out on you. 16, you doubled. You tripled 15. The drop two shots, and then 16, you doubled bogey. That was like a push. And then on 17 is when tragedy happened.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? I had a bad moment on 17. I ended up parring the hole, but if you remember, I tugged my drive left. It hit the cart path and kicked into the woods. And
into the brush,
but it was yes, into the brush, and then pulled out a gap wedge just to punch it up there. And it looked like there was a little twig in front, wasn't worried about it at all. But after I swung, I noticed that the twig was actually the size of a redwood from California, and I bent my gap wedge.
Big power.
And now it's not, it had nothing to do with power. It was, I was never, I think it was so close right then, and you just went right. And then you asked a question and I gave you the right answer, but you didn't like my answer about the red stake. And then so I was like, I'm not getting in an argument right now. I don't even know where my ball is. So I was like, I can't move this thing. Even if there was something there, I was like, I can't move this thing. I was like, I'm going right through this stuff. I'm just going to hit a little punched pitching wedge or at the gap wedge. And it left me a gap wedge, if you remember, all the way in. And I hit pitching wedge over the green because my gap wedge was bent. And that was right after the hole, if you remember.
I probably just told you that you have to play gap wedge no matter what.
Yeah. No, but if you do remember the hole before, that was when you had the phantom ball that disappeared in the bunker.
Yeah.
And then it started to rain on us. And the guys we were with were just sitting in their cart watching us crawl around on our hands and knees. And I'm like, we're just going to play it as an embedded ball. It went right here. If I can't find it, then it's embedded in the ground. And we played the embedded ball on that hole. I think that was the 16.
It was.
Yeah, and then we got lost. We drove to the wrong green. I pulled up to the group that...
We talked to some friends.
We started talking to them.
And it wasn't... We were at a hole that we had already played.
Yeah, and then so we moved up. 17. That was a rough ending to the round. And then on 18, I had the disappearing 5-iron. That I hit it the exact same distance we hit it the same distance you did. You were in the middle, maybe just off. Were you off into the rough?
No.
Or were you still there?
No,
just down the hill.
I was down there.
You were just down the hill, and I must have hit a 5-iron, whatever, and had the drop. But I know you wanted to give it to me on the 17th, and I said, and I even said, no, don't do it. You never know. And then on 18, I ended up hitting it to the back side and got up and down for bogey.
Going for the green.
Yeah, you did. Was it a chunk splash or were you over the green?
I hit a little fat. A little fat iron that came up about 2 yards short.
Yeah. But that sealed everything for me. After all the shots and everything, I ended up winning by 3 shots differential. So I shot 83. You actually shot 100. I think you were getting 14 shots on the round. So again, started off like a match. It was like, oh boy, this is what we want. And I know you were swinging it a couple days coming in, and I've been swinging it well, but I was on the opposite, thinking like, I'm bound for a mid-low 80s round. Like, it's just going to come. I was like, I just got to hold my breath. And then after nine, you had to feel that I was getting a little nervous, getting a little tense there. But I was able to just hold on, really, when it came down to it. We both, if I remember right, we both just didn't make putts for anything big. Maybe a couple par putts here and there, but I don't remember just rolling them. I remember rolling them well, but that was the first day being down there with the Bermuda greens. We both started talking about grain. And
I think I looked at grain more than the last 4 or 5 days I had in the four
ever
that we were down there than I'd ever really
ever
focused on it at all.
Ever. Yeah. And I don't remember it being as bad at Royal New Kent as it was really reading grain at our next rounds over at Kings Mill. But yeah, we didn't make much. And I like to think that you were still fairly positive. I'll be honest with you, the end of the round was a little bit of a blur, because if I was on the phone with every golf shop within 50 miles asking how I can get my gap wedge shaft repaired, because it was part of my set shaft. It wasn't actually a wedge shaft. It was, and it's, I'm not saying that anything about me, but I was playing a KBS Tour X. So it's not like something you can. Well, it's not big time. It's just not something you can just go and buy. And so I don't remember really all how we felt. I know the group was already done a little bit before us. I think our last couple holes were a little bit slower. We tried to wait out the rain on that one hole, and we ended up, I think, falling behind. They all took off, and I don't think we really talked all that much afterwards.
We just quickly said, hey, where are you going? You said, I'm heading back up the road.
Yeah, so I actually ended up going 30 minutes back the other direction. We were in Williamsburg. I went about 35 minutes back, maybe 35 miles, took me 30 minutes. I don't remember the same, to go back to the PGA Tour Superstore in Richmond, the wrong direction. And just so you know, Kings Mill and Royal New Kent weren't as close as I thought they were. They're probably not. 25 minutes, maybe?
Yeah, about 20 minutes.
So I headed back. I think you headed back towards Kings Mill to get yourself situated. But now I did make it back. The guy was actually, he was a little different than he talked on the phone. He made it more like it was an easy switch. But I hung out there and I made a lot of putts on their putting green. I looked around at every shoe to see if there was any deals going on, but I did not buy anything.
Well, you know, I'm a shoe guy.
No, there really wasn't. I was a little disappointed on the shoes. I'm starting to just try things on so I know how they feel. And so when I find deals online, I'll know what size to get. Yeah, so major number three comes to a wrap. I do have a 3-0 lead.
It's not enough.
I do want to talk. Maybe we come up with a way, if for some reason it's not really a closeout, like maybe the points, maybe we give some more points to different things to try to make it still competitive.
I'm not playing as I'm dormy.
Yeah. So I think our next major, we don't have anything scheduled until almost the end of summer, because we're going to do our summer season, which will start in 2 weeks. All right. Are you ready for this? Remember, our summer season is from June 16th to August 24th. That is 10 weeks. And it is what we're going to do is we're going to take the first round of our week. So if you play multiple rounds, it's the first round. If you play one round, it's the one round. And then we're going to take that and we will probably have to figure out to make sure somehow it's fair on the strokes and everything, because we just don't know where we're playing. If we're traveling or whatever, we may be playing.
There may be some Florida rounds for me for two.
Right. But I'm saying, if it's a super hard course, I don't think we could just go by score. You know what I mean? Like, we'll have to figure out make sure it's even, whatever we're doing.
I think the place I'm staying in Florida has like a Nicholas, an RTJ course and another course on there. So they're going to be difficult. But I'm looking forward to it. We're staying right on one of the golf courses. So, You don't think
that's pretty cool.
You don't think that, like, in the afternoon when we come back from Disney, I'm not just going to be sitting there watching people play golf, sitting in the pool,
making fun of them? Would you make fun of them?
No, I can't.
Maybe their outfits.
I can't
make fun of their outfits.
Yes, how they look. Their outfits. If they're mismatched brands or anything like that. If they are wearing.
I will get you all the rest of our gear we have, and you can sell it on the hole you're sitting on. You'll be instead of being the little kid that has the golf ball for a quarter, you have grown man with some fitness t-shirts and workout shirts and hats saying, hey, this will look really good. Oh, you're from Ohio? Oh, you're from Ohio? Here you go. Just spread the word about everything. Oh, by the way, we have a podcast. If you want to listen, here's the QR reader.
I'll have the link.
JBL
just bumping the podcast in the background so that they'll be like, hey, turn that down. Be like, actually, no, you maybe should listen.
You might like this. It's two guys that are trying to get good at golf that have not yet.
We're farther than others.
Yeah. No, but I do think I know you were probably pretty frustrated about the back nine.
But the front nine. The 10 was killer. Like, I actually rode. The high that I was on from pretty much 4 or 5 days leading up to us leaving, I pretty much thought what I said in the clip, 100% wholeheartedly, I believed that there was no shot I was going to lose major number three. I was that confident. I was having that good of range sessions, and granted, they're range sessions.
Let's listen again to a part of that clip from Greg just a few days before.
It is Friday, and I just had the best range session I've had probably in years. I'm excited. I got a little tingle in the loins.
But with timing now, I don't really have the ability to go out after school or after work or on a Saturday before we left to go squeeze in nine or whatnot. We just had busy schedules leading up until then. But that was the thing, was like, I was riding that, and then 10 came, and it was just like a immediate 100-0. From 100% riding high confident to boom, there went all confidence.
Yeah. And I wasn't there to see, I remember you said you did this, and I was like, what? And you had that dribbler that rolled out off the tee box, because I think my phone bounced out on nine. Remember I said I was going to drive the green on nine, and I didn't. I think I missed by 150 yards. But
you found it?
I did. I actually played it pretty well to the middle of the green. But yeah, I think you had to be a little bit more positive. Like I said, I knew you were coming in. I still go back to it. Golf swing, golf shots, there's a big difference. And I think you were able to take your positive swings you've been having to the golf course for the first nine holes. And then I think not hitting a lot of golf shots caught up to you a little bit. And I'm not saying just that one hole, but if you look at the back, it was a shot here, a shot there that was just out of play.
Yeah.
I will say the one thing I knew, no matter how, I kept telling myself, because I played that course, even though it was 15 years ago, and I knew how hard that course was, I was like, man, one of us is going to just get in trouble due to course management, because we don't know. And I think as many blind shots as there was on the front, I thought the blind shots were even weirder on the back. Because I remember we had a hole where we both hit 8-iron off the tee to hit a wedge in on a par 4.
Yeah,
because we couldn't carry, or we didn't know if we were going to go for it, what was behind it to clear those mounds. I think it was just a weird course. It's not a course that I'm running and saying, oh my gosh, guys, we need to make a trip back down there. I don't think I would turn it away if we were down there playing a couple rounds, but I'd be curious if we backed up a set of tees. I know it makes it a little bit longer because I think the differential is almost 500 yards, but I don't know, man. That course was just, there were some shots where I feel like you're in less trouble if you backed up, where you didn't have to worry about placing an iron, where you can just go after an iron or a hybrid or a driver, where I felt like you had to be, even though there were big landing zones, I just felt like it had to be a little bit, you had to be on point. Like your misses were misses, like big misses.
Yeah.
There wasn't much room for error, and even on the greens.
I think we short-sighted
ourselves a lot.
A lot of the greens were protected either by like undulation or by bunkers or by big old bushes or something. There was a lot of protection around them, which was difficult, where it just got in your mind where you're like, all right, I can't leave this short, can't go long, just try and put it in the middle of the green.
Yeah, I don't, I played for more center of the greens this week, although that is something I'm really focusing on, even here at my home course, is know when to go to the center of the green and know when to go at the pin a little bit more. Yeah, I played to a lot of center of the greens this past weekend. Putting was very demanding. And if I look back at all six rounds over the past weekend, being on different greens that we haven't really played very much or hardly at all, I'm actually really happy with my putting. I mean, I know I only had probably two, maybe three putts, but I'm telling you, locking in on those long lag putts, where they were draining. You're talking about you uphill putts that felt like they were going downhill when you're going up into the up a hill down green. It was like gaining speed going uphill. And there was more Poana, so it was a little bit more bumpy at Wardell New Kent, but at Kingsville, there wasn't. The greens were in gorgeous shape. Obviously, your wedge holes, there was a little bit more ball marks, but holy cow. Just reading the greens were more challenging, and then obviously the competition kept you more focused in them, especially in the last few holes. But yeah, so we're going to start up our regular season here, or our summer season, in about 2 weeks. It gives us 10 weeks. Also coming up in the next few weeks, we were going to lock in.
Probably going to be a lot more rounds than just the 10 rounds that count.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I think if I don't play 3 or 4 times a week, I might as well just give my clubs away. But, I'm going to.
You're a member of a country club.
I know. I'm telling you. They're waiting. They're holding that spot for you. So that when you come out here. But, yeah, we're going to have to lock in what we're going to do for major number 4. And then, of course, our final major of the year, we'll finish that out too. But we'll definitely double it down. I know we have a couple challenges we've talked about off air that maybe we'll start posting on our social media account. So make sure to follow us on our Instagram and our Twitter. But we'll start talking about some challenges that we're going to challenge each other, not just in our regular season, but since we will probably both be traveling quite a bit over the next 2 months. You will travel a little bit more than me, but we won't be playing together.
July is the month of Greg.
Never heard it put that way, but it could work. We can start a new trend.
Month of Greg.
It's about to be the month of your kids, let's be honest. They're taking over.
That is true. They are taking over, and it is awesome, and they're going to have a blast. But
Yeah.
I'll sneak away, and I'll ride some ghosters.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, you're going to have so much fun down there. But yeah, so we have a couple challenges that we're going to do and then move forward from there and then keep everybody up to date. But let's talk about what we went down for. Let's remind everybody. We went down.
Before we go on to that.
Uh-oh.
Just because I'm going to just ride my confidence coaster and say this.
Are we going up the hill or are we going down the hill?
We're going up the hill. We're going up the hill.
I love it. I love it. Click. The chain's going up, right?
I would like to talk about what happens if there is a push at the end of our 5 majors and the summer season.
There won't be. There's 7. There's 7, thanks.
Differential. Forgot about that. Yeah, handicap differential. That was the already tiebreaker, darn it.
That was the tiebreaker.
All right, hopefully I can drop my handicap by 17 strokes in a matter of 12 weeks.
Yeah, because remember, I think we set it for it was 7, so there wouldn't be
push. You're right.
It wouldn't be a push. But yeah, that does remind me a little bit about the end of the year. We need to talk about maybe a big event that we're going to be putting on, and if any of our listeners want to join, it may be a possibility for them to get out, come check us out in person and have a good time. But that's more to come down the road. So... Right. Is the coaster down? We're headed downhill. We're at the top of the hill.
We're about to go downhill.
All right, we're about to go. Hands up, baby. We're going for a ride. Also, let's talk about it. And this was a ride. So after I had to go to Richmond, we headed to Gents Cup. All right,
Let's take a pause right there. Greg and I continue our talk about our Gents Cup trip and everything we do on our next episode of Fairway Fit. Let's go.